My name is Grigori, and
yeah, I'm Fernando.
Yep, and we are from the team that brought you Enterprise Library, Unity, Wasabi, and among other things, the CQRS journey that the previous speaker has been talking about. So on behalf of that team, it's actually a pretty substantial team, I would like to extend a warm welcome to all the attendees of the Patterns and Practices Symposium 2013. One thing that you'll notice is that there is no dedicated talk on Enterprise Library in the agenda of this symposium. Some of you may say this is a good thing. Well, this is not because there's no work that's going on now on Enterprise Library. In fact, we are right in the middle of the Sprint 5, I believe, for the next version of Entlib. And if anybody in this audience interested in knowing more about what we've been working on, what kind of new and exciting features or removal of some features we're going to be undertaking in the next release, please feel free to grab myself or Fernanda during the breaks. We'll be happy to share some insight into that. But the topic of our today's talk is really the autoscaling. This is fitting in the theme of the track for the day, the cloud computing. So we're going to be talking about autoscaling in Windows Azure. I don't think I will be opening the Americas saying that the dynamic provision and dynamic scaling up and down of your resources in response to the demands is one of the key features that the Windows Azure delivers on, or for what it matters, any good, mature cloud platform. So one thing that I would like to mention here is that, of course, when you think about elasticity as this property, as the ability of the Windows Azure, these days the benefit is that you get this provisioning happening in a matter of minutes versus in the old days of on-premises world where you had days, weeks, months to bring up your service in the data center. So when people talk about autoscaling, when people talk about elasticity, very often we hear the sentiment that you know, this is really the great cost-cutting measure, this is great to secure and to guard your SLAs, and pretty much lots of tactical argument. And I'd like to propose, and I'd like to think about autoscaling as much broader, much more important thing than just the tactical response to your cost-saving measures. I would like to have companies think of autoscaling as part of their IT modernization strategy, and something that Mark said earlier today during his talk, Mark Sims, when he said, well, there are lots of things where, you know, developers were like saying, well, it's not my problem. Reliability, it's not really my problem. Scalability, it's not really my problem. And in the past, you know, you needed to have something to work faster, get a better perf. You went and you got an extra server. You never really cared about design for scalability, or many people didn't care. Some did. So I'd like to, you know, propose this, you know, IT efficiency imperative, where you think about your scalability as the first class concern along the way with the functionality and other things. So let's talk about how we do autoscaling today in Azure. In fact, just a trip back about a year ago, up to November 2011, and some of you already recognize the date, others I'll explain in a minute. If you wanted to achieve elasticity and get the scaling done, you had pretty much three choices. These were your only three options. You could do provisioning of extra instances or taking them down manually through the management portal. And as you know, the management portal has improved drastically. It matured. The usability, the user experience in general got better. But in the old days, you actually had to modify the config and push the config change. These days, at least, you know, you've got an improvement. You've got a slider. So the irony is not lost there. But we all know the problems with the manual approach, the how prone it is to human error, and I think Wasn't Marco? Mark was talking about that earlier today too, as the number one failure reason. So, or reason for failure. So the second option for you was to use a service, to use some auto-scaling service. Unfortunately, there was nothing from Microsoft, so you would have to go to a third party. Today, Scott Gu demoed, you know, through the extensions, how you can actually get the some of those services nicely plugged into the portal. In the past, you didn't even have that. You needed to have everything managed and monitored outside of the Windows Azure portal. And the biggest concern there, or the consideration that you need to have, while it is a viable approach, you have to remember, in order for that to work, you need to do what? You need to give up, you need to surrender, provide to this third-party service your management certificate, which in many companies' books would be a no-no as a security issue, as a security hole. So not a very good option. And the third option that many people actually ended up doing was writing their own business rules engines and writing their own auto-scaling logic, what I refer to plumbing, using the API, the Azure Management API that we provide. But again, to answer that one, I'd say that you should probably be focusing more on building your business logic than writing the plumbing. By the same token, I always say that you should be focusing on business logic more than writing you know, your login frameworks or data access frameworks. So in November 2011, it all changed. We, the Patterns and Practices team, have shipped the auto-scaling application block known as Wasabi. And then the happy life started for everybody. Lots of people have adopted it since then. So we're going to talk a little bit about, we're going to be talking the entire time here about Wasabi, what it can do for you. So before I talk about the features, one thing, a very important distinction about Wasabi versus other things that have been demoed by Scott Gu or you have read on the Windows Azure site. It's not a service that is baked in, that is offered by the Windows Azure platform natively, just like you would expect, you know, ACL or caching or storage or service bus, okay? It's a standalone component that you must host, okay? Having said that, it may sound like, oh, wow, extra work for me, extra problem there. It's actually not that much of a deal, not that much big of a deal. You will see in our today's demo, we will actually bring in the Wasabi and configure and get it up and get running from scratch in a matter of minutes, okay? But the fact that it is a standalone component actually gives the flexibility to you, the developers, in terms of extending it and plugging in your own KPIs, your own metrics, your own actions. A lot of extensibility hooks are available to you this way. So Wasabi, the two types of actions that we ship in the box are auto-scaling of your instances for the web roles and worker roles, and then something that we call application throttling. Again, might not be the best term, but this is to help you deal with the situations where you might have already hit your budget and you cannot go any further and you want to go with some graceful degradation of your service. We'll talk about it a bit more later. And then you can, of course, mix those two actions. Those actions can be triggered in one of two ways. You can either do it proactively. If you have, if you know the patterns of your load, if you know the patterns of users coming to your site or your system, whatever, and you know the schedule, so you can actually configure that. Or you can do it reactively based on some metrics hitting certain thresholds, and then the Wasabi firing up the scaling actions based on that. So this is the next slide, pretty much summarizes those two categories of rules. Okay, so you have the constraint rules, and the reason we call them the constraint is because they constrain the range of how many instances you can actually have. Okay, the constraint rules always supersede anything else, so you will never go above or beyond this range, minimum and maximum, that you set in your constraint rules. And then you have the reactive rules, where you get to specify the triggers, and you can see that the anything that the Windows Azure provides, so you can have perf counters used there in your conditionals. You can use the QDAPs, you can use the current instance count if this is part of your equation in determination whether it's time to scale up or down. And then the most important, by far, the most important piece that we view that Wasabi supports is your custom written business rules. Because at the end of the day, it's really not you watching and monitoring the CPU utilization. And again, this resonates with what's been said earlier today, but it's probably something that matters to your business. How many unprocessed documents do I have in the queue? How many users I have logged in, etc. So something that is valuable for you as a business to make these decisions, whether it's time to scale up or down for what it matters, right? Because over-provisioning generally has been a very big problem in the industry. And lots of people now, again, even with the use of the virtual resources and going to the cloud, they say, well, we do not over-provision as much. Well, they do. Often what you see is that people just end up, instead of having physical machines, they just have all the virtual instances out there that are not being used. Do you want to say anything about the ranks at this point or later?
Well, we can describe how timetables work.
Let's do that.
That's very, very interesting. The timetables work pretty much as you would expect from a calendar application, where you say from every week between this time of the day and this time of the day, on that particular day, I expect to have a higher demand, maybe at the end of the month, where all the reports come in. And you can specify overlapping rules with the timetables, and you can assign ranks so that the higher rank rule takes precedence over the others, and that allows you to specify rules in a simpler way. You don't have to make sure that the rules don't overlap, and be careful not to step on a different rule and cause ambiguity. So with ranks, you will define what's the most important range for a particular period in time, and we will see how it works live, what that does to the scaling behavior of your application.
Yeah, so let's take a quick look at how you define these rules. Okay, so I'm showing you the part of the, actually, before that, there are two configs that you need to think about, two configurations that we like to talk about when you deal with Wasabi. One is the operational configuration, and this is where you set up your subscriptions, certificates, intervals for evaluation, cadence, etc. And then the other one, which is truly the business configuration. So that separation helps, separate whose responsibility it is to define those. So with the business configuration, you see the example of the rule set there defined in XML, and we work hard on polishing the schema to make sure that it is readable and usable. So I'm not even going to say anything. I will just invite you to interpret this rule that I highlighted. I'm going to unhighlight it because it's hard, but hard to read. But if you look at it, if you were to look at it, how many people would have any issues interpreting what this rule is supposed to do? I think it's pretty straightforward, and I hope it is straightforward for you. So, and basically the business config rule set will contain these constraint rules, collection of constraint rules, and reactive rules. And then you see another section here, which is actually the set of operands that participate, or the metrics, in other words, that participate in your definition of the conditionals for the reactive rules. Okay? So now here, what you see is, again, the different ranges. You see the timetables. You see the recurrences. You see the UTC offsets, all the things that you would expect. In the reactive rules, similarly, you will see the actions, which may be a bit different, but it's there. And then the conditionals are specified as the expression tree. Okay, so you can do the composite conditions as well. And then you are using these aliases of the operands that are mapped to the actual, let me show you, perf counters right here, right? Or they're mapped to things such as QLANs, role instance count, or, as I said earlier, they're mapped to the custom metrics. And actually, one new thing that we're doing today for you, which is different from the posted video that we had on CloudCover and some other places that some of you may be familiar with, is that we're actually going to go into how you define, how you build those custom actions. But here, let me just say a few more words about the operands. The important thing to keep in mind is that when you are doing autoscaling, you don't expect it to be real time. You don't expect it to be at the level of, you know, milliseconds. Something happened a few milliseconds ago or seconds, and you're boom, you're scaling right after that, right? So it's something that is typically averaged out over a period of time, 20 minutes, an hour. In some cases, it could be longer. So what you'll see is that in most cases, you specify the counter and you specify the aggregate function, which could be average, minimum, maximum, or if you don't care for the value, you can actually go ahead with the option of the gross, where all you look at is the derivative and the trend. All you know is that, hey, in the past 3 hours, despite the fact that I kept bringing in new and new instances to my deployment, my queue that I'm monitoring, the one that matters to me the most, keeps growing. So I don't know what's happening, but it keeps growing. So, and you don't care for the absolute value. And then, of course, you specify the time span. A good word of advice is that when you come up with your aliases, please use the names that actually are, you know, intuitive to understand the what the metric is, including the time span. So now, in order to show you how the Wasabi works, this is the part of the business rule set definition. I'm actually going to switch to the reference implementation that we have built for you, and this is exactly you'll see the rules, which are exactly the same ones that I showed you in XML. But this has now been deployed, so we'll see how this has acted up in the past 4 hours. We are scaling some app. It doesn't matter what app we're scaling, okay, for the purpose of this demo. But this is the management portal that allows me to monitor, to set some thresholds, and specify the scaling actions. So I'm going to switch for the past 4 hours, where we on purpose loaded the server, the service quite a bit here. And what you see at the top, you actually see my instance count graph for one particular target. You will see that in my deployment here, I'm actually monitoring several targets. But just for the demo, I'm going to focus on one. And one other thing that I want to mention is that this demo that you see, the RI, the Tailspin Management Portal, even though it's not part of the Wasabi, it's part of a separate download, the RI. We've seen some people using it not only to play with, but actually incorporate it into their own monitoring
Definitely.
Portals. To you know, so feel free to take it apart. Even though, again, the strengths, or I don't know, the quality bar for the Wasabi itself is definitely significantly higher than we invest into the RI. But in any case, what you see here, let's take a look. You see the blue, light blue bar, and this is effectively something that is determined by the constraint rules. So you see that during this time period, it was allowing anything between 1 and 2 instances for the public website role. And it keeps going till this time, which is GMT. So about 2 hours ago, I've set the rule that allows for higher peak, because I may have been expecting more load. And at that time, it allows for about an hour, between 3 and 6 instances. And then it came down back to 1 and 2. The actual blue line here shows the actual instance of the of that web role. Okay, so you see I have 1, 1, 1, and then at some point something happened. If I were to monitor what I was reacting to, here you see a couple of metrics that my rules, it's just refreshing. It is actually live server, so you'll see that I was reacting to the CPU utilization. Yeah, we all know that that's probably not the best one to monitor, but for the purpose of the demo, that will do. And you'll see the other metric that is more interesting, which is my custom metric, where I'm looking at the number of active surveys in my pipeline, or the number of active tenants. So the app that we're actually scaling is a survey management system, so that's where the business metric comes from. So you see here, for example, it went from 1 to 2 because the demand has increased and there was a higher load. And if I were to click on this event, you will see a lot of diagnostic data that Wasabi captures for you. And this is all JSON feed, so it's pretty easy to slice and dice and process it any way you want. But we're going to take a look quickly at the decision point where The instance count for the public website was supposed to go up from 1 to 2. So at this decision point, you can see for the public website, you see the other ones too, but the public website, you see the list of matching rules. Again, the Wasabi, what it does, you may have many rules defined. When we were doing beta testing, we thought that probably in the real world, people will deal with hundreds of rules. And then, you know, some advisor came back and said, are you kidding me? We're talking about minimum, you know, couple thousands right there for our, he had a concrete application in mind. So Wasabi can actually end up reconciling all of those rules. Something that would be pretty tricky to do for a human being if you were to, outsource or to assign that responsibility to an administrator to do manually. So you see the three rules that matched, the default constraint rules, and then the additional instances for public web during the peak hour, that was the 3 to 6 thing, and then on top of it, there was the low-cost demo and public web, many tenants or surveys going up. And then the end result of it was that, hey, I need to go from the current value of 1 to the current value of 2, and that's exactly what happened. Some delay that you see in this graph, okay, you see here between the square and the actual line, is because sometimes, as you know, it takes quite a few minutes for the Azure to provision those roles from the point where you issued the command. So if I were to go and look at one of those rules that we just talked about, let me just look at the reactive rule. And again, this is just another way to the UI on top of that config that I showed you earlier. What was it? Public, many, I think it was this one. Public web, many tenants or surveys, increase. So you can see that it is configured, enabled, there's a rank, and you say, well, if any of these two conditions satisfy, plus if your public web CPU average for the last 20 minutes is greater than 50, then go ahead, scale this target by 1 absolute or relative value, whatever you want. Okay, so you could have actually specified another action here, an additional one. We call it the change setting. And this is the one that I alluded to earlier when I talked about the application throttling. So again, imagine the situation that you your budget allows to go up to 2 instances at that period of time, and you already hit that, and your queue is still on, or the CPU utilization high. What can you do? One of the options that you can design for is to disable some of the functionality, right? So you can say, hey, no trial users can access my system at this point. I'm only going to serve my gold customers, the ones who are paying. Or the other example is that I may not be streaming videos at this period of time. I will just degrade something and just give you some snapshot pictures. Or I will not be doing for the survey app, I will not be doing the heavy statistical analysis that you may have asked me to do with cross, whatever functions there, and I'll just stage them and I will do them later. So now, in order to accomplish that, we will allow you to specify the different configuration parameters here, and then your app can listen to them and handle them accordingly. Of course, in order for this to work, you will need to update, or you will need to design your app to take advantage of it. So if it comes to scaling, generally you may need to do very little changes to your code, if your system has already been designed to be scalable, right? So if you already took care of recognizing that it's all stateless, and if it's a web app, you build it to be web farm friendly and all of it. But when it comes to application throttling, you really have to write a little bit of code for this to work. But Wasabi will take care of monitoring whatever you care to be monitored and notifying you through this mechanism, and then you can react to it yourself. Okay? So that's pretty much the gist of Wasabi.
Yes.
Now shall we switch to the custom part now?
Yes. Something to keep in mind though is that what you were seeing in the reference implementation application is built on top of Wasabi. It's not Wasabi itself. Wasabi is the core based on the XML files. This reference implementation has a pretty layer on top of that. It does a great job, and many customers have taken that code and used them in their applications. It all the information that you were seeing that was feeding into the graphs is generated by Wasabi as part of the logs, and you can consume it just like the reference implementation does. I will suggest if you're interested in Wasabi to take a look at both the documentation for Wasabi itself and the reference implementation is a great sample. So now we are going to demo how to
customize Wasabi to your business.
Yes.
So the opening remarks that I made, right? Why is it important? Again, let's reiterate.
Out of the box, you get essentially a machine that consumes metrics and initiates actions on scaling. Those actions can also be extended. But basically, the kind of information, the metrics that it can produce over time are like general purpose ones. Queue length of an Azure queue, the values for performance counters across different instances of your roles, and of course those performance counters have to be published by the applications in order to be available to Wasabi. But those are in most cases proxies to the actual performance of the application, and if you have a chance to produce metrics that are closer to your application, you can probably benefit from a more insightful set of rules that will more closely represent how your application behaves. And in the example in the reference implementation, we saw that there were custom operands representing how many documents were unprocessed and that kind of application-specific metrics that you can teach Wasabi how to gather and then consume those in your rules. If performance counters and all the out-of-the-box metrics work for you, then that's perfect and you don't have to do any coding and just configure the rules using the primitives that you have available. But if you want to go the next step and fine-tune the availability of metrics, then you can do so. Also, something to mention is that with the rule authoring process, it's not one step. You write the rules and then make it run without supervision. This is an iterative process. You will probably want to monitor what the Wasabi is doing
and
fine-tune and tweak the rules once you gain further insight on how the demand behaves and how the application reacts to different demands. So for the demo, we are actually having two separate steps. One is including Wasabi in my application. Actually, my application will probably be the same. It's already deployed. I can show you. It doesn't really matter what the application is by itself. We have it deployed, and it has just one instance. What we're going to do is to host Wasabi itself, this time in a worker role. It could be a console application that you run on-site, on-premises. You could be a Windows service if you want it. So we're going to add it to a worker
role. And it doesn't have to be a dedicated role. It could be a shared one.
It could be a shared role.
The footprint of Wasabi is very lightweight, and keep in mind that you can also have a single instance of Wasabi taking care of autoscaling, multiple apps going across multiple subscriptions. And Shai, you have a question?
You said shared role. I mean, can I run more than one instance of Wasabi?
Yeah. Well, what I meant by the shared role is that I said that it doesn't have to be the role dedicated to the Wasabi only. But if you are talking about the fault tolerance of Wasabi itself, we've designed it so that you can run the Wasabi in more than one role, so if that's what you choose to do for reliability. And there is a lease mechanism in between that allows those roles to negotiate who the master is, so you don't end up having multiple masters issuing the orders, one saying go up, another one saying go down, and then you have stalemate. Yeah.
What we meant by share is that you don't need to have a worker role dedicated to just hosting Wasabi. You can be doing other things if you want in the same role.
Yeah.
So I got the Wasabi NuGet package from the NuGet repository, just created the role, added Wasabi. I will need to adjust the binding redirects for the storage NuGet package that we used.
Remember, Wasabi has been released a year ago, and there's been clearly updates to the Windows Azure APIs and the storage API since then, so we need to update that.
Exactly.
But so nicely with the NuGet, and again, people who are not using NuGet, you should be embracing it. Look how easy it is to get all the redirects set.
Yep. So now I'm going to implement the worker role. I'm going to use a very straightforward implementation. This needs to be hardened, but just to show the moving pieces and the main concepts. The object that represents the main entry point is the autoscaler object. So I'm going to get an autoscaler. And I'm going to get it, if you're not familiar with Enterprise Library, this is a standard mechanism for getting Enterprise Library objects in your application. And this is the main entry point for all things entry, at least in the current version. And I'm going to get the autoscaler. Now that I have it, well, I need to define a field for it. Of course, this code can be
harder
you want. Yes, and you can name things whatever you want, of course. And I'm in the start method of the worker role, I'm starting the autoscaler. And that's pretty much it for bootstrapping. I'm also going to do the due diligence and override the onStop to properly
stop the autoscaler.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah. So
just to to reiterate, this is all you need. When we say that Wasabi is a component that you must host, well, this is what we mean by hosting. That's all you need to do. Then you just go ahead and deploy this worker role. Of course, you still need to provide the config, but just like any other service or any other solution that you're relying on, whether it's a third party or your own, you need to configure it, right? But that's pretty much it.
Yes.
There's a question right there.
Sorry.
Does it need tables or blob storage or anything like that, or is it just
for the data, for the data points that it's going to process and analyze to make the decisions?
Yes,
it does. That's in the config. Yeah,
we will go through all the knobs that you will need to set in order to make this work. At this point, we have the code. I'm adding the trace sources configuration to get the logs out of Wasabi. We are using the approach Mark described. We have a facade on top of trace sources, but for the purposes of the demo, it's the easiest way into logging with Wasabi. So now we need to do two things. One is configure how the autoscaler object is set up, and then define the rules and the services involved in autoscaling. We are going to start with the rules and services. These are XML files, and we already had the schemas installed by the NuGet package.
We're going to get the IntelliSense support and validation and all of that through those schemas.
Exactly. So I'm going to use the local file version of the configuration that specifies where rules and services come from. In the reference implementation application, we are using blobs. Blobs are much easier, particularly when you're hosting on a worker role, because you can change the content of the blob anytime you want, and that's actually what the UI from the service implementation was doing. It had the nice user interface, but in the end it will save to the blob when saving the rules. Now, this is an example of what the service model looks like. It essentially specifies which roles are there to be scaled and where to get the system diagnostics, Azure diagnostics performance counters information in case you need to retrieve those. And also, more importantly, the way to access this management certificate that we need in order to change the configuration of those services. There's a lot of detail about this on the documentation, but the most important thing is that I will need to define that certain role exists, and this will match what I will see in the portal. There's a lot of details here that I don't want to type. That's why I use the snippet. But for the rules, and I also want to make sure I'm going to copy it. Let me check for services. Yep. So for rules, I'm going to start with the empty rules. In this case, the first step is to define the constraint rules. I want to have a very simple default rule for
that runs always.
Yes, without a timetable, and I want this to set a nice range for my role. Mm-hmm. A range for the target, which is the service. This, of course, can grow to be much more complex than it is now. It's easy to set up the rules, but it does take some time if you have many rules. And a simple range of between one or two.
One thing that I wanted to mention was that we've seen some of the people who adopted Wasabi, that they took the sample set of the rules that were shipped with the RI, and then they modified it because it seemed to be easier that way than to write the rules from scratch. There's another question there, yeah?
The aliases, they look like magic strings to me. Is there any way to validate that those are in sync? That
they don't need to be in sync. So the aliases are global identifiers for the rules.
The question was, the aliases look like they were magic strings, if there was any way to validate them, right? And then the answer
yes, that they might. In fact, the role name and the storage account, the role name matches what you have in the portal and what you have defined. But it's possible that you're managing different services that have the same role names. So aliases are essentially a global namespace for referencing the roles in your rules. You will probably, if you have several hosted services with the same role names, you will probably do a composite alias so you can manage them. So we have the rules, we have the services. We need to configure the Wasabi to know where to look for, to bootstrap it, essentially. We could have done it through code rather than getting a reference to the autoscaler object. We could have write the code to set it up. We're going to rely on configuration here, and for that we are using the configuration tool that is available with Antlib and that is extended to also know about the configuration for the autoscaler. So we have the autoscaling settings available because of the fact that we have a reference to the autoscaling NuGet package. And we get the default configuration predefined for autoscaling settings. We need to knob to twist a couple of knobs out of the box, mainly around storage accounts. And
those would probably be the, again, if you're only starting with Wasabi, those would be the only ones you need to tweak. The rest we recommend, on the first trial, leave them intact. Leave the default
yes.
values, because we've consulted with a lot of people to think of what those defaults should be.
Exactly.
But as you'll see, that there are a lot of things that you can actually tweak about the internal workings of Wasabi, anything from the cadence frequency to the encryption of your rules, etc., etc.
Yeah, so in this case, this connection string I provided is to where to store the metrics that it gathers while it's running. I also decrease the rule evaluation rate so that the demo doesn't take that long. And we're also going to override the default store for rules and service information. We are going to change it to the local file. It's easier for the demo. And for rules, we had the rules.xml file. Nice thing about the configuration tool is that we get the validation about what's missing. And I want to replace it for services. Now everything is okay, and I can save it. The configuration has been updated, and I
Somebody is monitoring something. I hope it's not a scale action that needs to be triggered.
So we configure the rules, configure the services, bootstrap the autoscaler in the worker role, have the application configuration all set. We are going to run it just to see that it works. It will probably do nothing. The range for the constraints was between 1 and 2, and we already have 1. No reactive rules, no changes are needed. As any demo.
But at least we want to make sure that it's running.
Yes. So in the meantime, any question? This will take a couple of minutes, actually 1 minute to do its magic, and we will see the logs, which are essentially the same ones that the reference implementation was gathering. I can say, I don't see if there are any questions.
So I can see when you get into developing the rules and the ranks, you probably want to test that out or run through a scenario. How would you do that in a dev way?
You can.
You want to repeat the question?
Yes. So the question is, how can you, when you are developing the rules, do a dry run of the rules, evaluate them, and decide what needs to be done, but not actually doing it? There's a scaling mode knob that you can set, where one of the options is just to notify what it will have done if it was.
So it's
actually
a hypothetical scaling.
Yes.
You get notifications, but you don't actually go against the. The real.
It doesn't do the action.
It doesn't do the action. And it's actually also a useful thing for paranoid admins who do not want to allow, the machine or the robots to make the decision as far as the scaling actions are concerned. So all they want to do is they want to get notifications. I would imagine that would probably work in the case of very few targets and few rules as well.
Yep.
So,
so we can see here that. Actually, let me bump up the. You can see here that the evaluation ran, several traces about that, and one of the messages that there are no changes to submit after doing all the reconciliation. So we are going to stop it there. So we have a host working with rules, of course, a minimal set of rules, a minimal configuration, and a host that needs to be hardened.
Yeah, and then from this point on, you can just go ahead and add more rules, you can add more targets, you can add more subscriptions, but as far as getting Wasabi into a working condition or working state, this is pretty much all that needs to be done.
Yeah, this is the moving pieces that
the moving pieces we just demoed to. We're going to go a little bit further. We still have time, and we're going to go and define a new custom business action, and we'll show you how that's done, okay? So shall we talk about what we want to implement here?
Yeah, so an interesting demo is sending an SMS when you want to scale up, not also scaling, but sending a notification. There are built-in email notifications in Wasabi. We're going to add a custom one that does the SMS message. So we need code to do that,
and we need a phone number for somebody to send the SMS to, if you want.
Yeah.
If you want to test it and see that this is not black magic.
I think we have to use yours.
Okay.
Customization. We need code to both perform the action and to support the deserialization of the rules, so you can express that action in your rules, just like the ones available out of the box. So we are going to create a library that contains all the code necessary. We're going to use, since we are extending Wasabi, we need to add our NuGet reference to Wasabi. And we are going to use also partners library to send the SMS with Twilio.
Twilio is a partner. I think I don't remember the particulars of the partnership deal, but I know that the Windows Azure users get a certain number of tweets or voicemails or analytics from Twilio a day or a month. So we're just using the trial subscription there and using their service to send.
Exactly. So now we have the references here. I'm going to add a little class that does the sending, just a little wrapper on top of the Twilio API, and I'm going to just copying and pasting. It's not really relevant.
It's not that interesting. It's not relevant to what we're trying to.
It is interesting, but not relevant to here. I'm interested in these things. We are relying on system configuration to do some of the settings here. So I need to add a reference to system configuration. This is an implementation choice, not intrinsic to the extensibility. Just let me set this up. So we have the sending component. Now begins the interesting part. We need to have to extend the Wasabi
action
base classes to integrate into the rule evaluation and rule execution. So we're going to add a new class. We're going to call it send SMS action. And to be part of the reactive rule set that you will have once we add this extension, I need to inherit from reactive
action. Reactive rule action.
Reactive rule action, yeah. And I will let IntelliSense do the coding for me most of the time. We need to return our result. We have a two-step rule evaluation process. First, all the results of what should be are gathered, but then there's a reconciliation process, particularly if you have multiple rules that target the same service. You want to compare ranks and determine what needs to be happening, and then run it through the constraints of the constraint rules. And as part of that process, the actual marching orders will be issued. So actions themselves don't do stuff; they provide an indication of what needs to happen. In this case, we will need some kind of rule evaluation result. So we can have many. So we're going to have a rule evaluation result array with just a new send SMS action result. I know that I'm going to need the for rule because this is just for bookkeeping. But the interesting part about sending the SMS is the phone number I'm sending it to and the message. So I'm going to have probably a phone number and a message going along in the result that performs the action. I need to define what this class is. Let's do it in the same file. And this has to be a rule evaluation result, but in particular because this is a specific kind of result that does something at runtime, it will be part of the execute action result. And because it is an execute action result, it needs to return a description, but more importantly, send the message. Let's figure out the properties that we have here. Properties. IntelliSense cannot help me here, so we're going to make them strings and string. And now I will let IntelliSense create the constructor for me. It's not quite there. We need to call the base constructor for rule. And
you want to rename those P1, P2 just to?
Yes, just to make them prettier. This will be the phone.
Intuitive names for the win. Always think about somebody who will be maintaining your code later on.
It's their problem.
We have to write the unit test too, by the way.
So
we should, but so, we're not going to do it for the demo. We only have 5 minutes, 40 seconds left.
So I had the component, new SMS sender, and I want to send this phone number and this message. And let's see. So we have the implementation of the code that plugs into the rule evaluation and sends the SMS. Now, we need to be able to deserialize this from our rule code. We need an extra element here, public class. It's going to kind of send SMS action element, and we need to inherit from a specific reactive. This is part of the deserialization process. Reactive rule active. And again, IntelliSense does the heavy lifting for me. I'm going to return a new send SMS action message. Phone number request this. Going to copy the properties for this. Looks like a lot of duplicated concepts, but it's used, they are used in different contexts. In this case, this is for deserialization. We are relying on XML serialization, XML attribute.
And so again, the idea is that so once we build this, so you can specify the configuration for the send SMS action just like the one that's already baked in, like scale or range or change setting that that I demoed earlier. So we're almost there. We're almost there. I'm impressed with your coding. Typing, not making typos.
I'm making typos. That's IntelliSense. So now we have the all the code that we need to support this. Of course, we need to reference this assembly from the host to make it available. And there's another step that we need to solution, customization. Another step that we need to perform. We need to instruct the deserialization process that this assembly has an extension, so we're going to do that again through the configuration file.
So Wasabi knows that there is an extension.
Yeah. So
that,
in the store. Yeah, exactly. We
got.
Was it customization? Yeah. So now I'm saying there's an assembly deployed with the application, with the host, called customization. Use it for rules. I could add a. We need to add the rules, of course. In this case, they are going to be reactive rules. And we want to add a rule, name, scale. And this is going to, we are going to cheat a little bit here. We want it always to trigger. So we are going to have something that is trivially always true. But this is the interesting part, the actions. We want to scale. That target that we have by one.
Yeah.
And you can see I'm also relying on IntelliSense here, and the schema makes it very easy for me to do it. I don't have time to create the schema for this
send
action.
SMS.
Yeah. XML NS equals AP same demo. But we know we have a phone number,
and a message.
SMS Grigori, and a message. So the only final step here is we are relying on some configuration knobs to keep the Twilio specific settings. So we're just going to drag and drop those. And that's it, according to my cheat sheet here in the in here. There's a lot of code, little time. So let's run it. And hopefully Grigori will be getting an SMS in a minute.
Hopefully.
Yep. Well, it was a lot of coding in a few minutes. So we've extended Wasabi to perform the custom action. Custom operands are pretty much the same. They follow the same approach of extending objects, base classes in Wasabi, and then providing the deserialization support for deserializing the rules. There's one little difference regarding the operands. You probably want to benefit from the infrastructure already built into Wasabi that collects information as what we call data points and then performs those aggregate functions on the data points. So when you're defining your custom operand, you usually just have to define where to gather the information from, provide a value, and then let Wasabi do all the storing of values and aggregate functions. So we don't see it in there. Let me switch. There you go. Just got it.
Did you guys just see it?
Yep.
Did it pop up?
And
isn't it cool or what? I don't know. What's the why are you asleep? I thought it was ta-da moment for us.
We can
do
also
this live in 15 minutes or less.
And also because we had the scaling action, we get the log here saying that the role was scaled up, and yeah, the portal will show that there's something going on here. Okay, I will breathe.
So this was excellent. Thank you, Fernando. We have just a few minutes left, and what I'd like to draw your attention to is a whole bunch of learning resources that you guys can pick up and learn more about both Wasabi and then something else that we didn't talk about today at all, but another speaker has alluded to that in the resiliency talk, the transient fault handling application block. In fact, both of those are in a single book, and you get in that book for free too. So the developer's guide, Building Elastic and Resilient Cloud Apps, talks about Wasabi and the transient fault handling application block. The RI, there's 14 comprehensive hands-on labs. There's a whole bunch of videos and case studies. I do want to mention one. I encourage you to go online and read it. It's our own journey. Well, not my team, but a bigger team, the MSDN and TechNet team that migrated from their solution on-premises to Azure, and these are where their objectives to hit. They wanted to maximize their utilization. At the point when they started was just 20%. At the end, once the project went through pilot and got deployed, their utilization went up to 67%, while practically doing zero code or architectural changes, and with the performance that hasn't suffered at all. And I also want to mention another white paper called the IT Energy Efficiency Imperative, which talks about the design for IT efficiency, both from the green perspective and some other perspectives. And this is the quote from that paper talking about the biggest potential for improving IT energy efficiency in data centers with the server utilization.
Let me add that the Wasabi project won the Environmental Action Award.
Yes,
from Microsoft.
Believe it, we got an award. Yes, after all that hard work, we've got an award. There more links right there for you, and we have probably a couple minutes just left for questions. But of course, then there is a 20-minute break that we'll be happy to answer any other questions that you might have. Thank you. Any questions, anyone? No. Somebody's sending me SMSs or what? You didn't see, we masked my number, so this is surprising. Oh,
no,
this thing keeps sending messages. Yeah, because we didn't put the stabilization mechanism there. Speaking of which, this is actually a good segue.
Yep.
Wasabi comes with what we call the optimizing stabilizer, because you know, again, when it comes to scaling up and scaling down, this is not something that you want to be doing, you know, 1 minute up, next minute up, down. So you want to build in some hysteresis into your system, just like you know, that thing is built into the thermostat. So we support that. You can specify different different settings for the hysteresis, and also we build it so it optimizes around the hourly billing cycle of Azure. As you know, you get billed by hours regardless whether you use the full hour or just a minute of it. So one of the annoying things, which we didn't think was an annoying thing, but for customers who provision thousands of those instances, it actually ends up having a substantial thing on their monthly billing. So you can specify that you don't want to scale up unless it is during the first 15 minutes of the hour, and you don't want to scale down unless it is during the last 10 minutes of the hour. Since you already paid for it, you might as well have that instance doing the work for you, since you already paid, and that's all fully configurable. So on that note, now we're fully out of time. Thanks again, and we have our MC kicking us out of the stage now.
Get out of here.
I presume
you guys are done.
Thank you.
Thank you.